This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps.
I'm Danny Hogan.
Each Thursday, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. With special guests and stats you can trust, here we go. We're back with another bonus episode and another past guest from the podcast. She's one of our all-time favourites, the secret psychiatrist, who was previously on to talk all about her field of medicine, how she got into it, and the ways in which she can still find stigma, even in psychiatry, an area where you'd imagine might be one of the few places without it. In today's episode, we're talking all about how her work has changed since the pandemic began, how she's best supporting her patients during this incredibly difficult time with all the changes that's meant for her work and also limited resources with many staff being off sick. One of the things we found particularly interesting was when she talks about being surprised by what conditions people are presenting with, assuming initially that it would be far more anxiety related to the current pandemic, but in fact, that doesn't tend to be the main reason people are seeing her at the moment. After the interview, Danielle and I discussed that at length because it's something that surprised us as well. Perhaps right now, anxiety feels entirely appropriate. And so for that reason, many people may not be getting the support, but that doesn't mean you're any less deserving or entitled to that support, as I'm really glad the secret psych mentioned as well. So with that bit of extra thought from us, we'll get into the episode in a moment.
Hi, I'm the secret psychiatrist, otherwise known as Dr. Pavinder Shergill. I'm a doctor in mental health. So I work in the NHS in West London. Obviously, since COVID-19's happened, there's been a lot that's changed, I think, for me personally and also professionally. So on a personal level, I've had to move homes because I couldn't depend on public transport to get to work, which took me over an hour anyway. And because of the situation, doctors need to get in, especially to cover other staff's absences who are unwell and their risk or those they live with. So I've had to move in with my parents, which, I mean, it obviously comes with its own risk because my parents at that age where I worry for their health, my sister's on medication that lowers her immune system and she's at home as well. So I have to make sure that I take precautions. So I wipe the door handles down. I go straight to my room. I try and not spend too much time with them, which sounds really horrible, but it's just, you know, I'm keeping them safe because I have to go to work and I don't want to put them at risk. And I can get to work quicker from their place by taking one of their cars. Also, I mean, it's very stereotypical, but I go to a cafe almost every day to get my caffeine fix for work. So that's obviously just socially, things are completely different. The doctors are creating a lot of WhatsApp, Zoom group joint meetings. So we're in touch about COVID every single day. We have, I don't know how many emails. One day I had 200 emails actually in one day, majority wow. About COVID and the guidance and the protocols. So it was a lot to get through. You have all these WhatsApp messages as well about urgent meetings and patients who are urgently unwell and doctors who are sick. So everyone's trying to use technology at the moment to its grandest of forms. Work has completely changed. Primarily, I work in a clinic that deals with CAMHS, which means it's child and adolescent with mental illness. And that goes to the age of 18. I also work in A&E, the forensic wards, which are patients that have a criminal background and mental illness, the acute wards, the emergency wards, wards where police are bringing in patients on the section, and the geriatric old age wards. So, for example, people that have dementia don't have the capacity to fully understand what's happening, keeping 2 meters apart, what PPE is. So COVID is actually spreading very quickly in the wards, which also, you know, not only puts patients at risk, but also staff. So staff are getting affected very easily from this. And at the moment, we don't have PPE. And the little that we do have, it's not effective. So it might be a plastic, pathetic sort of apron. And that is not what PPE is. So at the moment, it's a huge issue. On the clinic side, we are trying to follow government policy, just like the GPs. So we're trying to do as much as we can on the phone. That comes obviously with a lot of problems because if a young person or somebody who is suffering acutely needs help and needs services, it's very difficult to do that on the phone. One, it's difficult to get someone on the phone. We can't see their face. It's very hard to do WhatsApp calls because you have to use your private phone. We don't have the resources. And obviously, if we have to, we have to do home visits or face-to-face in the clinic, and we don't have the equipment. That causes a lot of concern, obviously, because we are also still people as staff, and we have our own health and our own families to look after. So we have doctors who are pregnant, you know, they're at risk. Some have to gone off sick. Some doctors have actually got COVID. So we're very thin on the ground. So the clinic has come up with a system where we're rotated now. So we come in once a week physically in the building to try and do, you know, consultations if we have to, face-to-face or emergency consultations, home visits, etc. And the rest, everyone's trying to do from home the rest of the week. Yes, it's really lovely to work from home, but that's very difficult as a clinician because one, you know, confidentiality. If you're living at home with someone, how do you keep patients' notes safe and confidential? Also, just your own confidentiality. We're having to use our personal phones, laptops. And if data gets spread or our number or if people can see where we're living, that causes a lot of issues as well. So, I mean, we're just trying to take it day by day. Mm. It keeps changing every day. As I said, I'm getting so many emails. It's hard to keep on top of just the national guidelines for COVID, but also our caseload. And one has to remember, we still get referrals in, like it doesn't stop. We still have our own caseload. We still have patients that need help. We still have those patients at home who are self-isolating and then their parents who also might have mental illness. So it doesn't stop. And we're very concerned. Obviously, when COVID-19 is over, most of the world will get on. But what's going to be a huge problem is, you know, the hospitals and the clinics, because we will have the backlog of all the patients that we've had to kind of push aside at the moment, if we can, if it's safe, plus all the ones that we've picked up and continue. So I don't know. It's going to be a massive pressure of work, especially because we can't take any annual leave at the moment because we're kind of having to offer it up because we need to help. So staff will be very burnt out. Some staff are already exhausted and we're going to need to have annual leave when this is done. So There's a lot of things we're concerned about. We're already thinking about 2021, how the workload is going to be affected. And in my clinic, we're just trying to get through, really. But it has definitely affected all of our lives.
Yeah. Wow. You've done a really good job of explaining how huge the challenge is there. And it's also interesting to hear about the shortage of PPE. It's something we've talked about. I'm interested to know, in terms of those new cases that you are getting in, are your patients presenting with different symptoms than normal, or have you seen any kind of trends in the particular rise in certain mental illnesses?
We actually thought we'd have a real big spike of anxiety of cases. I have to say, I'm very pleasantly surprised that's not happened. I haven't found that at the clinic, and it's a huge clinic. What we found is, which is really interesting, and my friends that work in A&E and medics on the wards, they find this as well. They actually are having less cases coming through, and the cases that are coming through are cases that we should be seeing rather than those that could have gone to the GP. So that's been a real surprise in a good way. Not good as in the sense of, obviously, we're still getting cases that are acutely unwell. The cases that have been of great concern, but it hasn't been overwhelming, have been emergency cases. So those cases are coming through, but no more so than usual. I think the patients in the cohort that are suffering the most, and I think their parents and the carers and the support system are doing a fantastic job, are those with autism, because those with autism really struggle with change, and this must be a huge impact for them. But I'm really pleasantly surprised, actually, how parents are coping, because obviously they have to stay at home because schools are on lockdown, and we were really concerned about that, about having a routine for young people that's been completely affected. But actually, I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised how well they're dealing with it.
That's really good to hear. And it kind of makes sense to an extent that whilst there is so much more stress with the current situation, there is also more support. That so often people that were isolated previously or needed more support are actually being considered more now. So perhaps there is that greater family and community support that may be keeping certain people from getting worse.
I am so proud of them because I don't know where they found this strength. But some of them have gone out, they're volunteering, they're helping in groceries. Like, they've really become so resilient in this time. And whether it's that there's a communal feeling that everyone is in this together, no one's separated from this. I don't know whether that's brought out strength for some people that they want to help others. And it's focusing on other people rather than themselves. And some of the young people I deal with, it's been such a positive impact because they've really realized what's important to them, what they can do to help. And it's made them realize the little things are important, you know, going for a walk, you know, calling a friend. And they really cherish those moments and they've become very positive about it, which is absolutely fantastic. Like, I'm really incredibly proud of my patients. I'm really, really proud of them.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear. And one thing that's been a concern a lot in the news is that some people may be not getting medical support when it doesn't relate to COVID-19. Do you think from a mental health perspective that may be happening?
Yeah, I do think that's happening. But I think that also is a deep-rooted issue because I'll give you an example. So there was a patient that needed emergency treatment for their mental illness, and it was actually the parents stopping them because they were concerned that if they saw a doctor or went to the hospital, they would get COVID. You know, so that's a deeper rooted problem with other people also stopping that and creating stigma about getting help at this time, which is obviously not the right thing. We can deal with it. We will protect you as much as we can physically. But if you are suffering and you need the help, no matter what, do not concern yourself about, oh, but this might happen. You know, do they have enough equipment? Get the help you need, because the worst case scenario is you're going to struggle at home on your own. And there are lots of people who are self-isolating on their own. And it is really difficult for some people that don't have that support system and need the treatment. If you need it, or whatever it is, please get it. And we will be there. Like, we are still coming into work despite the problems that we are facing. We put that on the side and we will treat you first.
Right. I love that message. And it's so important because I think right now more than ever, it's easy to fall for the excuses not to get help. You know, the stigma isn't a new thing. And I think all of us at times can come up with excuses not to go to the doctor. But right now it feels like it's the most valid excuse ever. We're just surrounded by constant COVID coverage. So it can be very easy to hold yourself back for that reason.
Of course, yeah. And I think people overthink it as well. They think, oh, the doctors must be really busy. Oh, they won't have time. The phone calls will be, you know, just get that out of your head. Like, I am here. I will pick up the phone if it rings. Like, there is not a doctor that will not answer the call, especially when it concerns one's mental illness. Like, we are here and we're extra vigilant about it and extra sensitive in this time about it. So please do get the help you need and we will be there.
That's a great place to wrap up then. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.